I'm going to be reading a couple of passages this morning. The first from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And the second will be from the second chapter of the book of Acts. And this Luke passage is a very familiar one that we often hear on Easter morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day he raised again." Then they remembered his words. In this passage that tells us just the first beginning steps of the discovery of the risen Christ, and as we shared, some of you were there this morning at the sunrise service, that we don't really know why the women went that morning other than being obedient. The body had been somewhat prepared on Friday. The scripture tells that Joseph and the others prepared the body. We know they didn't go on Saturday because it was the Sabbath. And so here, the very first opportunity they had within the law, within the word and will of God, they went. And the lesson there is that being faithful to Jesus and obedient to the word of God, they saw the risen Christ. And I was reading one of the Philadelphia papers and the unbelievably ongoing debate still about whether or not the resurrection of Christ is real, whether it really happened. The second chapter of Acts tells a great story of the Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit coming at the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to pick up in verse 22. These are words of Peter. And just so you know, all historians will tell you that almost all of the Bible is true. They don't believe the miraculous events, but they will tell you that the times and dates and places are mostly true. Now, we believe that it's all true, but most historians will tell you that it's mostly true. And so what we would look for, if we were fair-thinking people, even outside the faith, would be evidence, of a risen Christ. And what we see here is Peter. And what do we remember about Peter? Peter was brash and bold, but when crunch time came, Peter often fell. He stepped out of the boat, but then he sank in the water. He rushed when they arrested Jesus, but then he denied Jesus three times. But here, Peter stands up and he addresses the crowd and he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Realize that Peter is addressing those who are responsible for Christ's arrest and crucifixion. He says, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath they would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, all Israel, be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. And Peter was telling this crowd, speaking directly to those responsible for the death of Christ, speaking directly to them with boldness, with confidence. This Jesus who you crucified did the things that you saw, and we are witnesses to his resurrection. This speech by Peter is great evidence of the resurrected Christ. Had many of the things that people from then till now still debated been true, like somebody hid the body, like Jesus didn't really die, had any of those things been true, Peter could have gone back to his fishing boat and been left alone all of the days of his life. But he did not. Peter began a movement that was fueled by the Holy Spirit that is evidenced here 2,000 years later in this room on this day and in places like this all around the world as we celebrate the real resurrected Christ. It's not a story. It's not a metaphor. It's not an interesting way of looking at things. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, was put to death. A brutal death. For your sake and for my sake. And when he said it is finished, better translated, it is accomplished, he was not just talking about the fact that his breath was about ready to leave his body for the last time. It is accomplished. Sin of this world has now been defeated. For all people, past, present, and future, from that day, it is accomplished. I have done what God sent me here to do. The sacrifice has now been made. The perfect sacrifice, the real sacrifice, the real blood sacrifice that had to take place for sin to be redeemed, for us to be redeemed. And he said, it is accomplished. And with that, he breathed his last. And then he too took a Sabbath rest. And then on that Sunday morning, with a real life and a real body, he left the grave. He left the grave. He defeated death. He defeated sin and death for your sake and for mine, so that all we ever have to face is the death of a body and a transformation into a new one. That's what we who believe in Jesus have to face. And there is a time of grieving, of course, that comes with that for those left behind. And there is pain in the body to come with that. But there is glory to be had on the other side. You see, this happened so that what Jesus talked about earlier would be known. And I'll read this for my dad, because my sister, several years ago, wanting to make sure, she went to my dad and asked him if he knew he was saved. My sister was from my dad's first marriage and didn't spend a great deal of time with us, but there was great love in our family for her and by her, and she just wanted to make sure that my dad knew. And my dad said, "Yes, I know I'm saved." She said, "How do you know?" And my dad was a man of strong faith, but a very simple theology. And he said this, "For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The cross and the grave were a price that Jesus paid, a gift that he has given to each person that would ever live. Many of you that are here today have accepted that gift of life, that eternal gift of life, that very simple gift of life. And I got to tell you, when you're facing death with that assurance of that gift, there is nothing like it. If you don't know that assurance for yourself and for those you love, don't let today pass by. You can know. I don't hope that my dad's going to be in heaven. I don't wish that he would be in heaven. I have complete assurance that the day I cross into glory, my dad's going to be waiting for me. I know it. You can know the same thing. If you've never done it, may today be the day. If someone you know doesn't know it, don't let today pass without sharing that with them. You know, it's a shame when someone is given a gift and it's left unopened. Right? On a very minor scale, we all may have experienced that. We found a gift certificate that's expired, you know. We've given a check to someone and it never got cashed. I mean, we've all had some similar experience to that on a very small scale. Let us not waste the cross. Jesus has given us this great gift, and all we have to do is say thank you. That's all we have to do. And celebrate the real and resurrected Christ, who lived, in fact, on this earth, who died, in fact, on this earth, and lived again, and sitting at the right hand of the Father, desiring that you would come and take hold of Him, desiring to help you. The great images in my mind, you know, we're told that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And you may have heard me say this, but when Stephen was being stoned to death, it said he laid down like he was going to sleep. As he was being brutalized, he lay down as if going to sleep. And he looked into heaven and said, "Behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father." As if to say, "I am getting up to come and get you." Jesus is getting up to come and get you. Reach out and take His hand. Father God, we thank You for what happened on Friday. We recognize our part in what took place in Jesus' death. We repent for what we have done that caused that to happen. But though we share in that, Lord, we also share in the victory of today. And Lord, I ask that not a person would leave this building that is not assured of their place in eternity. That they know that they know that they know. That Jesus is alive. Reaching His hand out to them, reaching His hand out to me, ready when it is our time to take us home. We thank You that You so love the world. You love the world so much. And we are part of that world, all of us. And we thank You for loving us so much. We can't even fathom what Jesus really went through, but we thank You for it. Lord, I thank You for this place. I thank You for these people. I thank You for the presence of Your Spirit here. In Jesus' name, amen.